Thank you, Gray, so much. Praise team, thank you. Somebody asked me when I came in, are we having a special guest tonight? Wow, thank y'all for coming out tonight. I appreciate it so much as we dive into a new adventure. Now, I'm going to give you a set of ground rules, if I can, before we start the book of Revelation, okay? First of all, you're probably going to want to go back and listen to these messages again. You might not be able to get it all as I present it. And so that's okay. If you're trying to take notes or if you don't take notes and you get lost, we're going to make a way for you to go back the day after, the couple of days after, and you're going to be able to go on our website and you're going to have an audio file. I think you're going to see it on the screen now, okay? Take a screenshot of that if you'd like and be able to go on and be able to listen to these messages again. So I want you to be able to do that because as I go along, there's so much material that it might be hard to get it all at one time. Also, I want you to know this is not going to be a preaching session through the time we spend the book of Revelation. It's going to be more of a teaching session. I've got a table and a chair and I'm going to sit down and I'm going to do my best to try to teach you the book of Revelation. So it's going to be a different format than you're used to with Brother Ron, usually on Sunday mornings. So I hope that's okay with you. And realize also that I will not be able to get through whole sections like I would try to normally do on Sunday morning. So what we're going to do is we're going to stop and start. I'll get to where time will allow me to tonight, and then I will start from there next Wednesday night. I always put a little review in there because my heart is I want you to learn the book of Revelation. So at 25 after, I'm going to stop no matter where I'm at, hopefully, okay? And I'm going to try to stop and let you go, let the choir go do what they do. And so then, don't worry, next week I'll start where I stopped, left off, and have a little review in there. Now, this is going to be a fairly long series. I have no idea. If you're new to our church, I preach through the book of Revelation. I was trying to think the other day, maybe 10, 12, 13, 14 years ago. I took the whole book back then. It ended up being 60-some messages and took over 2 years. Now, I plan on not doing that this time, okay? So I've kind of tried to whittle it down, but trying to whittle down the book of Revelation is very difficult. I went through it this time and I redid everything over again, and I thought, what can I take out? And every time I'd try to take something out, you'd lose the whole significance of the passage. So there are going to be times, especially when we get in to the middle section of the book, we're going to take time to go through that. There's a lot to it. And so it's going to be one of those series where we're going to take our time. If I get tired or you get tired, what we'll do is we'll take a break. We'll teach on something else, okay? And then we'll catch it again. So people have asked me, how long is it going to take, Brother Ron? I haven't the foggiest idea, okay? How long is it going to take? We're just going to let the Lord lead us. I'm entitled this series of messages on the book of Revelation, End Time Previews. End Time Previews. Now let me start by giving you a panoramic view of the book of Revelation. But the focus is going to be what is next on God's prophetic calendar. What can we expect as we see Russia invading Ukraine, as we see many things happening around our world? Does that mean anything? And I think it does. So we're going to look at God's prophetic calendar. What's going to happen next? That's what we're going to look at. We're going to hone in on that as we go through the book. And that's what I want you to know, and that's what I want us to grasp and understand, because I don't think Christians should not know what's coming next. So with that in mind, let me just give you an overview of the entire book of Revelation. It's really not that hard. It's not that difficult. Once you get it in your heart and mind, you'll have it. Chapter 1 starts out with John, the apostle, who's exiled to the island of Patmos. And on that island, he sees a vision of the glorified Christ. That is the entirety of chapter 1. Chapters 2 through 3, we're introduced to seven churches. They are seven literal churches that were in Asia Minor in John's day. But we also believe those churches represent church ages throughout history. I believe we're living in the last church age, which is the church of the Laodicea. You find that in Revelation chapter 3, where the church is characterized as neither cold nor hot, but rather what? Lukewarm. So you find in chapters 2 through 3, seven literal churches, also seven church ages. Chapter 4, and that's where we're going to begin this evening, is what I believe is the rapture of the church. And I believe that is the next thing on God's prophetic calendar. And we'll explain to you this week and probably next week what that entails. You have the rapture of the church in chapter 4. In chapter 5, you have a scene in heaven where there's a little scroll, the Bible calls it. It had seven seals, and nobody was worthy to open that little book until Jesus stepped on the platform. And that chapter 5 talks about the title deed of the earth. Then the heart of the book of Revelation is chapter 6 through 18. That's the longest section. That's what most of the book of Revelation is composed of. Chapter 6 through 18 is what we call the tribulation period. Now, it's usually divided in half. The first 3.5 years is the tribulation period. The second 3.5 years is the great tribulation. Now, in this section, chapter 6 through 18, you're going to find some fascinating things. Most of those chapters are taken up with the judgments of God, where God is going to rain judgment down on this earth. He's going to do it through seven trumpets, through seven bowls, and through seven seals. We'll go through all of those. Okay, it's pretty self-explanatory, but it's also complex a little bit. So there's the heart of chapter 6 through 18. Then we're going to learn in this tribulation, the great tribulation, some characters in the tribulation period that are going to pop up. Have you heard of the 144,000? Let me see your hand. Anybody heard of that? We're going to learn about the 144,000. We're going to learn about a mighty angel. We're going to learn about two witnesses. We're going to learn about the false prophet. We're going to learn about the Antichrist. We're going to learn how Babylon has fallen, both politically and financially. All of that represents what's going to happen in the tribulation and the great tribulation. Then in chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, we have what we call the marriage supper of the Lamb. How many have heard that phrase before? The marriage supper of the Lamb. It's going to be a wonderful time. Have you ever wondered what's going to happen? And we're going to explain tonight, I believe the church will be raptured out at the beginning of this raptured period, before the tribulation. What are we going to be doing as saints while the world is going through hell? We're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. You say, what's that, Brother Ron? That's when we're going to sit down and eat with our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the time that all the rewards that God's going to give out, He's going to give out to us. That's where you're going to find out whether He's going to say to you, well done, thy good and faithful servant. So that's in Revelation 19, verses 1 through 10. Then verses 11 through 21, we have what we call the second coming of Christ. Now, you cannot confuse the rapture and the second coming of Christ. They're two different things, and I'll explain that more this evening if I get to it. But In Revelation 19, 11 through 21, it's the second coming of Christ, where Christ will come back to this earth, and we will come with him as saints. Then comes the millennial kingdom. Have you heard that name before? That's a 1,000-year reign of the Lord on this earth. So that'll be at the end of Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 20, you have the great white throne of judgment, where all the lost that have rejected Christ since the beginning of the world will stand, and they will give an account of their lives to God. And then in chapters 21 and 22, it's simply, I entitled it this, All Things Made New. So that is the book of Revelation in a nutshell. Now tonight, I want to start by talking what I believe, again, the next thing on God's agenda, prophetic calendar is, and that is the rapture of the church. So let's look at it, if you will. Take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. And then I also want you to put a marker there. And I want you to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting at verse 16. Because I believe 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 describes the rapture. So let's begin. Revelation chapter 4. Have you found it? That ought to be an easy book to find, right? Revelation chapter 4, look if you will, starting in verse 1. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was a trumpet speaking with me, saying, now I want you to circle these next three words. Come up here. That, I believe, is the rapture of the church. And I'll take this evening and next week to explain why I believe that. Come up here. And I will show you the things which must take place after this. Verse 2. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one set on the throne. Now, before we dive in to Revelation 4 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, God has given us a divine outline for the book of Revelation. If you can get this in your head, get this in your heart, you won't ever look at the book of Revelation again as one massive book. Okay? God has already told us a divine outline of how he wanted this book divided. So run over to Revelation chapter 1. Look, if you will, in verse 19. You need to highlight this verse. Circle this verse. Whatever you do to make it stand out. This is what God tells the Apostle John. He says this, Revelation 1, verse 19. Write the things which you have seen. That's the first division in the book of Revelation. What would that encounter, Brother Ron? What would that include? It would include chapter 1. What has John seen? In chapter 1, he's seen a vision of the glorified Christ. So the Lord tells, God tells John, this is how I want you to divide this book called Revelation. The first thing, and how I want you to divide, write the things, John, which you've seen. And what John saw was Revelation chapter 1. He saw the living Christ. And the Bible said when he saw him, he fell down like a dead man. Now, keep going. And then he says this, and the things which are. That's the second division. Now, what would be the things which are? That would be chapters 2 and 3. That would be the seven literal churches. Those are the things that were, that are, in John's day that I believe also represent different church ages. So we see Revelation 1 verse 19. We see how God told John to divide this book up. Write the things which you've seen, chapter 1. Write the things which are chapters 2 and 3. And then he said this, back to Revelation 1 and verse 19, and the things which will take place after this. That's the third major division of the book of Revelation. Now, what would that include? That would include, okay, chapters 4 all the way through the end of the book, chapter 22. And that's what we're going to talk about, basically, in this series. These events, these previews of what's going to happen on God's prophetic calendar. Now, I want to say this to you. I need you to understand this. Brother Ron, do you have the book of Revelation down pat? Do you understand everything in the book of Revelation? Is the way you interpret the book of Revelation absolutely right? Listen to me, folks. I would never say that. There are so many interpretations of the book of Revelation. I'm telling you what I believe after much study, after much reading, after years of going through this book, what I believe. But you might not believe it the way I believe it. You might look at some things different. And I want to tell you, as we start this series, that's okay. If something we don't see eye to eye and you believe something rather other than what I believe, that is fine. Okay? But I'm going to teach the book of Revelation the way I believe that it unfolds. So, in short, chapter 1, it's John seeing the risen and glorified Christ. Right? Chapters 2 and 3, seven literal churches that relate to seven church ages. We're not going to go through those. More than likely, you've heard messages on Revelation chapter 1. How many of you have heard a series, for example, on the seven churches of Asia Minor? Okay, see how many hands. But that's where it usually stops, doesn't it? So we're going to pick it up at chapter 4, and we're going to go forward with what I believe is the rapture of the church. Now, there's three questions I want us to look at as we start this first part, these end time previews about the rapture. So tonight and next week, hopefully we'll be done next week with this first section. There's three questions I want us to ask. So now we're talking about the rapture. Now let me say this. I don't believe anything biblically has to be fulfilled before the rapture can take place. As far as I know, as much study as I've done on the book and many, many others, there's nothing that has to happen before the rapture of the church. It could happen before I finish preaching tonight. It could happen tomorrow or next week. Nothing has to be fulfilled in God's prophecy before the rapture takes place. You say, well, Brother Ron, what are we seeing in the world now? We're seeing the previews of what's going to happen. This is what I believe. I believe as you look around the world, Jesus said in the end times, it'll be like a woman who gives birth. And most of you women, many of you women who've given birth to a child or to children, you know it starts out, your birth pains, they're spread apart. But when it gets closer to delivering that child, what happens? They get closer together and they do what? They get more tense. I believe in my lifetime, that's what I'm seeing going on. I am seeing that the birth pains and the intensity of things are happening at such a rate that it could throw us into the rapture just like that, which would throw the world into the tribulation period. So I need you to understand what I'm teaching about tonight can happen at any time. And what you see going around the world are birth pains, where nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines and earthquakes and pestilence in various places. Are we not seeing that? We've all seen that probably during our lifetime, but have you not seen it intensify? All around the world, it's intensifying. What's doing what? It's leading up to the time when the church will be taken out. That is the rapture. When those who make up the true church of the living God, those who are true believers in Jesus Christ, that's the church. This is all leading up to that time when the trumpet's going to sound and the angel's going to shout. We're going to be called up to meet the Lord in the air. So what I'm talking about tonight is relevant. It could happen at any time. And what you see going around the world, and I believe, listen to me, it will intensify. I believe the kingdom will go against kingdom and nation against nation. I believe all sorts of disasters will begin to happen. I believe personally there'll come a persecution of the church to some degree. But what did Jesus say? Those who endure will be saved. Those who go through whatever we have to go through, we are waiting for the Lord to come get His church. That's what we're waiting for. And no matter what we got to go through, and I believe we're going to go through more and more and more, no matter what trial or tribulation or heartache or pain or whatever persecution we're going to have to go through, that if we will endure it, we will keep our eyes toward heaven, that it won't be long till we'll hear that trumpet sound and we'll meet the Lord in the air. So tonight, three questions as we think about the rapture that I want us to grab hold of and understand. First of all, let's start here. What does the word rapture mean? That's the first thing, because honestly, you don't see the word rapture in the Bible. Somebody says, well, how can that be? Well, also, you don't see the word Trinity in the Bible. But how many of us believe in a Trinity? That's all of us. So, first of all, let's answer this question. What does the word rapture mean? Now, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, because I think it's Paul explains it here. What Paul is talking about in verses 16 and 17 is the rapture. Now, let's read it. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be, circle those next two words, caught up. Caught up. Together with Him, watch, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Now, in verse 17, do you see those two words? Caught up. That is the rapture. It's the Greek word, or really from a Latin word, rapio. It comes from a Latin word, rapio. And it simply means this. It means to grab. It means to snatch. It means to carry off. In other words, there's coming a time that we as children of God, we as the church will be grabbed. We will be snatched. We will be carried off. We will, listen, be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Now, I want to stop here and I want to talk about something that you need to know, because many people get this confused. There is the rapture of the church, and there is the second coming of the Lord. Don't confuse those two. The rapture of the church is 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17, and Revelation 4 and verse 1. What is that, Brother Ron? It's when we meet the Lord, watch this, in the air. He doesn't come to earth at the rapture of the church. Okay, we're going to learn about that tonight. He comes in the air, and what do? We're caught up. We're rapio. We're raptured. We're grabbed. We're snatched. We're lifted up to do what? Paul says to meet him in the air. That is the rapture. Now, the second coming of the Lord is all the way over in Revelation chapter 19. After the marriage supper of the Lamb, after we're good and full, we're going to have to get on some horses. There's where the Lord, with us beside Him, He's not just going to come down to the air and stop somewhere. He's coming all the way down to the earth. And when He comes down to the earth, that will begin the millennial kingdom, that thousand-year reign where the lion will lay down with the lamb. Everything will be perfect. So my point here is, you have to understand, don't get those two things confused. The rapture, which is the next thing that I believe is going to happen to us as Christians in the church, is different from the second coming of the Lord. Now, I want to dive in. We got about, we don't have very long, but we got a few minutes. By the way, it might take me 3 weeks to get through this, okay? Lord. Some things I want us to see here in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and 17. Let me give you some points to try to just kind of fortify it in your mind. Okay, some things I want you to notice about the rapture in these verses. First of all, is what I call the descent. This is the Lord coming from heaven, and He's descending down to meet us in the air. Look again, this is 1 Thessalonians 4. Look at verse 16. Notice this phrase. For the Lord Himself would descend from heaven. Where is the Lord right now? We know God is in heaven. Where is Jesus? He's at His right hand. Where is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is inside of us. So Paul, first of all, he looks at this descent of the Lord, where Paul says in verse 16, for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven. Now, hold your place there. I hope you bring your Bible, okay? I hope you bring your Bible. You're going to need your Bible, okay? So let me show you about that. Look, turn to the left. Hold your place in 1 Thessalonians 4 and turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 is when Jesus is ascending back up into heaven. Do you remember that? Look, if you will, Acts 1 and verse 11. So the disciples are watching Jesus descend back up into heaven. Two men stood by them in white apparel, verse 11, who also said, men of Galilee, now notice what these angels said. Why do you stand gazing into heaven? Now watch this. The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven, now notice what will happen, will so come in like manner as you've seen Him go into heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4 is a fulfillment of that verse, or will be a fulfillment of that verse. These angels said, men, you're looking up to heaven. He's ascended to heaven. But Jesus is coming back the exact same way you saw Him leave. You saw Him go back up into the heavens. He's going to come back down from the heavens, and He's going to rapture His church. Then look over at Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. We have another reference to this. Matthew chapter 24. If you don't get these verses down, listen, don't worry, okay? Go on our website, and this message is recorded there. Matthew 24, verse 30. This is the sign of the Son of Man will appear. Now notice where He'll appear. In heaven. So we're talking about the rapture. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming. Now watch, on the clouds of heaven with power and great authority. So, first of all, what do we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? I want you to understand it's a descent. When the Lord leaves next to the Father in heaven, and he comes down, okay? Just the way he left, just the way those disciples saw him. He's going to come down in the clouds, and there he's going to call us. There the trumpet's going to sound. Then we, as the body of Christ, are going to be lifted up to meet him. So in 1 Thessalonians 4, go back there, we see this descent. But second of all, I want you to see what I call this description of what's taking place. Now, 1 Thessalonians 4, look again at verse 16. Now notice, he's coming from the Father's right hand. He's coming to the clouds to meet us in the air. But also, the description of what's going to take place. Now, folks, this gives me chill bumps. Okay? It really does. What's it going to be like? Watch. Verse 16, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. With a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. I know some people don't want to get loud in church. Well, I don't know what you're going to do in heaven. We're going to rock and roll in heaven. Amen? Amen. And we're going to rock and roll before we get there. Can you imagine? Just stop and think about this 1 minute. Can you imagine the entire world at one time, because the church is spread out, the entire world at one time, we're going to hear what? We're going to hear a shout. We're going to hear the voice of an archangel cry out. We're going to hear what? The trumpet of God. Can you imagine every place on earth is going to hear that? Listen to me, folks. Look up at your pastor. You're not going to miss this, okay? That's a description of what's going to happen. Now, quickly, we got 2 minutes, okay? Matthew 24, verse 31. Go back over there quickly. As we think about this description of this rapture. Matthew 24, 31. And he will send his angels. Now notice, with a great sound of a trumpet. And they will gather together his elect from the four winds. What does that mean? From the entire globe. From one end of heaven to the other. That's the rapture. Now, look at, quickly, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're talking about this description of what we call the rapture, when we're caught away to meet the Lord in the air. We've talked about his descent. Now we're talking about this description of what it's going to be like. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse 52. Now watch this. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. What's the description of the rapture? Here it is in a nutshell. There's going to be a shout. There's going to be the voice of an archangel, and there's going to be a blowing of the trumpet. All right, next week. Now, this is where you got to come next week. Because what's going to happen at the rapture? What's going to happen to our loved ones that we buried? Does the Bible say anything about that? At the rapture, there's going to be a lot that happens. So you want to come next week. And next week, I'm going to talk about this dead in Christ and how they're resurrected. I'm going to talk about the two resurrections in the Bible. You need to know this and understand this, and then we'll work our way through the last two questions. Y'all good with this?
Yes.
All right. Please come back. Invite somebody to come with you. This is the format of the book of Revelation. Something different. I hope you get something from this. Again, go on our website. That'll be available in the next couple days. You'll be instructed how to get on there. And you can listen to this over and over again if you would like. Okay? Listen, thank you for coming out tonight. Thank you for our visitors. We have many visitors tonight. I thank you for being here. Let's pray and you'll be dismissed. And then the choir, you need to go see Brother Gray here. And they've got Easter. Do you believe Easter's coming up in what, 4 weeks or so? So they're going to have to practice for that. Thanks God for Gray and all the praise team and the choir and the musicians. I thank God for each one of you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this evening. Lord, we got to start on the book of Revelation. Lord, we're taking our time. We're going through the book because we want to understand what's going to happen next. Lord, your people are not to be scared. We're not to be frightened. No matter what's happening in this world, there's some things that are going to come to pass no matter what's happening around us, no matter what we see on the TV, no matter who we see invading who. Lord, there's some things that have got to happen. So we need to know these things, lest we be scared, lest we be frightened, lest we back up as Christians, which you do not want us to do. So help us to learn this book, to study this book. And God, there's a blessing in chapter 1 to those who read and study this book, that we might be blessed, that we might be secure, that we might be steadfast in the midst of a world, Father, that has lost its direction with you, so that we might be able to stand and proclaim, Jesus is Lord. He is our light. And if you'll come to Him, He will save you and change your life. We love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.